Greetings, you're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom. And today is April 29th. It's still Friday. I'm in my fortress of fortitude. My quiet space. That I found out is not quite so quiet. I'm a little disappointed because I'm still not done putting in the acoustic tiles. And apparently there is there's some traffic that if it's heavy enough, it makes noise. It makes road noise to where I hear it through the foundation of the house. So that's kind of like, fuck. Not to mention the fact that I just spent 36 minutes on a tirade about politics, and I shit canned it because that's the last thing anyone needs to hear from me. It really is. I have gotten to where I hate even opening up a web browser. And the reason why is because every time I do, I'm treated to some other bullshit that, you know, the mainstream media or my government's trying to shove down my throat as some kind of, you know, this is what you get for letting other people vote stupid, you know. And I hate politics. I fucking hate politics. And all I do is I grit my teeth every day. And I've got this one friend who texts me every once in a while in order to basically provoke me and see if I am going to take the bait instead of calling him out and say, look, Kit Fisto, how about you go fuck yourself? How about you just shut the fuck up about your politics, about your partisan politics? Your side is nothing but traitors, and the other side is just a bunch of cucks allowing it to happen. You need to just fucking back off that two-party paradigm, shut the fuck up. And that's the way I feel about a lot of people. But I don't say anything, mostly because, you know, I'm a nice guy and I try to keep my thoughts to myself. I try not to let anyone know what really goes on the inside because, you know, those thoughts and feelings are my own and they're very private. And now that you've probably sprayed coffee through your nose or have had a sizable amount of laughter, because the whole entire point of having this podcast is so that I can just let things out, you know. Who wants to keep that stuff in? Because that stress will fucking kill you. I think I should create my own drinking game. But I don't think I'd be able to get through an entire episode where the minute that I try to stay on track, you know, I have to take a drink. And then every time I go off track for what the agenda is, then I have to take another drink. By the time I'm like 5 minutes into this thing, it would be like, dude, holy cow, there are goldfish that drank less than you. You know, it just... There's like whole parts of Ireland right now, lush with alcoholics. They're like, oh, the begotta, that guy can really drink. You know, that would just, you know, how the hell does he string his words together? I've been working on the whole Irish accent. I've been studying a lot of Lucky Charms commercials. And, you know, I'm not very good at it. I'm just not. I try. But you almost have to be unintelligible. So anyway, how was your Friday? Was it good? Mine's just dandy. It's almost 11 o'clock on a Friday night. I've got nothing to do. I just watched two episodes of The Outer Range with Josh Brolin. And all I could think to myself is, like, I don't like anyone's character in this show right now. I don't. And that, I guess that's a sign of good acting, because you're not supposed to like everybody. At some point, you're supposed to go, God damn it, I like that guy, and then he became a retard. And, you know, that's, and I think that's the way you're supposed to feel. You know, you're, that's the hallmark of good acting. When you can look past the performance and go, God, I fucking hate that person. And then you're like, oh, that you're supposed to hate their character. Oh shit, he's really acting. Holy crap, I thought he was just that way in real life. No, completely different people. You know, and the thing about Anakin Skywalker, the guy that played Anakin, Hayden Christensen, or even the little kid, Jake Lloyd, you know, that little kid, that poor bastard, his life has really taken a turn. You know, you watch those film performances and, you know, like the first one, you're like, well, you know, he's a kid. You know, they say that the first rule of show business is never hire children or animals to work with you. And then, you know, then watching the second and third prequel, it was like, you know, don't let Hayden Christensen pretend to be evil because he's just not menacing. And then it was like, then I had that light bulb moment. Evil is rarely truly evil. It's usually just misguided and stupid and does a lot of dumb shit. And so then it was like, oh, fuck, that's amazing. What an acting, what an absolute amazing job he did acting. Ha, teen angst. Man, I haven't known anything that dumb in, long time. Man, I'm old. But anyway, no, I almost broke down and rented The Batman. And then I saw the price and I was like, fuck, I could have went to the theater and seen it and been disappointed along with everyone else that saw it. I haven't seen it yet. There's a part of me that's like, I'm a fan of Batman. Rob Pattinson, he was good in The Lighthouse with Willem Dafoe. Is he Batman? No, he is not the Batman. But then again, I thought at one point David Hasselhoff would make a good Batman in the late 80s, early 90s. He would have been my first choice. Second choice would have been, unfortunately, Alec Baldwin, whose career is, well, let's just say that, I don't reckon there's a lot of people that would be like, you know, I'm really going to enjoy working with that Alec Baldwin. We get not only do we get free coffee from craft services, but you know, we get a free flak vest too. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. The one nice thing about being a fat person though, is statistically you do have a pretty good chance of surviving a thoracic cavity wound because fat actually works as like a bulletproof vest in some ways. I've just read that. I don't know if I actually made that up. I know I read it. It's the reason why fat people tend to survive 9mm and smaller calibers, because it's like, bitch, please. I've got some McDonald's fruit pies that give me more problems than this bullet. You know, not to say I'm like, you know, I'm like fat, but I mean, let's just say that I occupy a great amount of space and I have a molecular density that dwarf stars would be envious of. If I were to be sent to the moon, I could literally knock it out of its own orbit. Quarter gravity my ass. Holy shit, Captain! Ship lands. Crash, you know. I thought it was one quarter gravity, but he's five times heavier than everybody. If you can't make fun of other people, make fun of yourself and be kind. That's what I've always believed. That and that and try to make people laugh. Today's not been a day for laughter, though. I actually did my civic duty. I called a couple of my representatives to ask them about this Homeland Security thing where they're talking about creating a disinformation office and stuff like that and who's running it, and kind of raised a bit of a stink about it because I don't think that it's what this country needs. And I had this moment when I was talking to one of the people that apparently knew something about it, and his accent was a little too thick for my security, mostly because I don't I'm just gonna come around and say it. If you suspect your government is colluding with a foreign nation, or you suspect that one party is colluding with a foreign nation, like let's say China, maybe, just maybe, you know, hiring Chinese nationals to run your phone bank to talk to people about the problems of the day, that's probably not going to make them feel any better. And I'm talking about Betty McCollum's person that I talked to today. So from my perspective, I have zero faith in the Democratic Party that is supposed to be my representative. I don't think they're going to care one bit whether or not that this this new department is actually going to be created. I think that they're going to use it like a hammer to stifle free speech, critical thinking. They're going to make people dumber as the result in order to preserve their power. They don't care about me and you. We are not represented. They are not your people. They're not your friends. They do not give a shit about you. And this is why I try to avoid politics, because when I start telling the truth, which it is the truth, people get very uncomfortable. Because ideas, much like the fear of catching COVID, is highly communicable. Not to me, though. I mean, I've got my own ideas, and I also have an immune system that works fantastic. And I'm not going to explain how I know that it works great, but I can tell you that there are some people that heard that story, and I was asked to never come back to Target in Woodbury. So, mostly because it made somebody uncomfortable, and I'm like, well, look, you know, maybe you're not okay with me sticking my tongue in some chick's butthole, but hey, these things happen. I never got sick. There, now you know. You know something about me you didn't need to know, but there it is. God, please understand that this is kind of comedy. Oh, Fridays. You never know what's going to come out. So, moving swiftly on, let's talk about silence and things like that, because I heard the recordings from the surface of Mars today, and they were quite haunting, as it was mostly just this. Which is, I'm pretty absolutely sure that that's probably all they did was like. Just blew into the microphone. That's all they've got. They got like four or five interns going. Less raspberry, more blowing. Okay, now we need to pretend like the wind's dying down. Kevin, did you fart? No. No, it's. No, I'm not gonna rip on NASA. I'm sure that those are legitimate sounds from Mars, because it's not a lot different than being in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, when all you can really hear is the wind and your heartbeat, and if you're lucky, the wind will die down enough to where you can hear something else like coyotes. But that's just, you know. That's just me. That's just my own thought process on it. There was even supposed to be helicopter noises from the little helicopter that flies around there, and I didn't hear it. because it was it's like Blue Thunder. It has silent mode. See, I too can be, what the hell is that? What is that called when you make noises for a Foley technician? Yes, yes, where all I do is I make noises off camera and or I do all the other stuff, sound design, here in my studio, my multi $10, you know. It's not, I don't think I've got $100 wrapped up into this. It's just, you know, foam that you use for sound deadening. And while it doesn't do enough, it does the job to enhance the quality of the sound in this room. But it doesn't eliminate the sound yet because I haven't got the ceilings covered. Once I get that done, then I can think about, you know, having a sex dungeon again. Totally kidding. Totally kidding. This was never used for that. Totally kidding. Whew. Man, I'm going straight to hell. Today is going to be one of those days where it's like, this is a radical departure from his normal fare. He's actually saying things that are just borderline funny. Oh my God, I'm only 16 minutes into this stuff. I haven't even gotten to the news. No, today, like I said, has been a mixed bag because it's like anything else. There is a surprise waiting for me every time I open up my web browser. And like right now, at 11:02 p.m., someone from Riverside, California has decided to open up my website, The Unseen Dimension, probably listen to my podcast and probably wondering, hey, what are you doing? Are you doing stuff? Are you being funny? And I'm like, yeah, kinda. No, actually, no one has ever interacted with me from my websites, which is nice. Although I did have a stalker, and I had someone actually recently message me something quite scandalous, and I was like, well, isn't that nice? It's good to know that, you know, you're using my voice for some personal time. That's great. I was unaware that I had that effect, but hey, you know, these are the things that you don't know until later in life. If I would have known that I had this voice and the command over people, I might have tried to get a job in radio or politics. No, actually, I wouldn't want a job in politics because then I'd have to sacrifice what little good that I have in me, you know. Oh, God, trying to look up some stuff here on the news. There's really nothing going on other than there was a possibility that a fireball flew over three states. And here it is. Here's where it happened. Of course, it happens in the South. Loud boom and streaking fireball spook residents across Mississippi, Arkansas, and Louisiana. People in three southern U.S. states spotted a sharp fireball streak coming down from the sky, introduced by a loud boom around 8 a.m., which officials and scientists identified as a bright meteor on Thursday. And you have this little streak, you know, it looks pretty cool. Seen in Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi by more than 30 people. Just to put this into perspective, those three states have a large population of people, and only 30 people saw this thing? It's like they subscribed to MSNBC Plus. Anyway, I know it wasn't that funny. It's funny to me, though, because compared to those guys, I was still operating with the idea that I had the lowest listened to number of people on a podcast. But apparently they were giving me a run for my money there for a while. I'm still the least listened to. They had a couple more people than me. But anyway, locals said they had heard a loud booms from Claiborne County and surrounding areas, according to NASA. The Mississippi Emergency Management, or MEMA, agency, on Thursday said the noise was caused by the fireball. After multiple reports of a loud sound this morning across a portion of our state, MEMA has confirmed with NASA that it was a fireball that caused the noise. No injuries nor property damage have been reported. We are told the meteor ran parallel to the Mississippi River. That's weird. The disaster management body said on Twitter. Well, wait a minute. Well, I guess it would be high enough up to where you would see it, I guess. The fireball at its peak shone more than 10 times brighter than a full moon. According to NASA, the disintegration of the fireball generated enough energy to create shock waves that spread to the ground, producing the booms and vibration felt by people in the area. Bill Cook, lead of NASA's Meteoroid Environments Office at Marshall Space Flight Center in Alabama's Huntsville, said that it's one of the nicer events they've seen in the data of geostationary lightning mappers. What struck me as unusual was how few eyewitnesses reports that they had, given the skies were so clear. More people heard it than saw it. Scientists have called the object a bolide meteor and said it moved southwest at a speed of 55,000 miles per hour before destructing into pieces as it entered deeper into Earth's atmosphere. The bolide fragmented 34 miles above a swampy area in north of the unincorporated Concordia Parish community of Minorca in Louisiana. A witness for the Vicksburg Post who heard the loud boom in the sky said she looked up and spotted an orange fireball the size of a basketball with a white tail behind it heading west towards the Mississippi River. Officials at Claiborne County Emergency Management Agency informed the locals that there was no involvement of the Grand Gulf Nuclear Station. Citizens of Claiborne County, local officials, are aware of the loud sound that was heard throughout the county. The agency said in a Facebook post, Facebook being what it is, a great way of transmitting news. It added, Grand Gulf Nuclear Station was not involved in this occurrence and the site is secure. There is no threat to the county and no action is to be taken. From news to politics, travel to sport, culture to climate, The Independent has a host of free newsletters to suit your interests. To find the stories you want to read and more in your inbox, click here. That was actually an advertisement. Apparently, I just don't stop reading. Jesus Christ. Wow. And you know what's really funny is that they have like this band of ads, like the clickbait stuff. Select the new 2022 models from Jeep, and yet it's a 1997 Jeep Wrangler with chromed out bumpers that look like they're made out of, you know, chrome pipe, you know, the really redneck, you know, whatever. So anyway, that was one bit of news that I thought was pretty cool, but they're actually going to do a DNA and seed bank on the moon. That's a big thing that they're trying to do. Which is, well, you know, it's kind of like two of the same thing. Look, and the rocket that they're going to use is basically Dr. Evil's spaceship. But anyway, they're going to create a biobank on the moon for 500 different species. Lifeship wants to send your DNA to space. Well, now, aliens, come and get the free DNA. You don't have to come to Earth and abduct people anymore. We'll ship it to you. God, this is the equivalent of me having my Amazon packages dropped off at a Cub Foods in one of their lockers, as opposed to just me driving to a warehouse and getting it myself. Aliens, just come on over. Hey, you want some animal DNA? We got human, animal, and reptile. And we got fish. We got it all. This is one-stop shopping for DNA. Oh, and by the way, we have a bunch of incels right here, right now, spanking it in order to, drive away with samples. If you need somebody that's got a little extra aggression, little extra aggression plus some misogyny, just here, have at it. You know, they'll go fight your armchair wars and disinformation campaigns. Oh, God. The shit that we're doing to preserve humanity. Why? Why? Why are we doing this kind of dumb shit instead of, I don't know, maybe looking out for the humans we've got here? Well, you know, Kim, I think we need to just think about the future. Really? What do you mean by that? Well, I think we need to start shipping our DNA to the moon where it won't be affected by the stupid here on this planet. Maybe it can grow up unmolested in the vacuum of space. Maybe some aliens will adopt these ugly earthling children and raise them in the ways that, you know, of a superior culture, you know? No, I don't. I can make all kinds of jokes about this, but this is just like, isn't this a waste of money? Do you guys anticipate us going into an extinction level event here on this planet to where you want to go ahead and send, you know, DNA and you're going to throw your DNA in a box and send it through the Van Allen belt? Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to have any effect whatsoever. Radiation's never mutated anything. Oh my God. By the time you get to the moon, it looks like an H.R. Geiger painting. You know, good God almighty. If you don't get that reference, the movie Alien. Anyway. What a day. I've had a typical Friday where I've been fairly unproductive. I have done the least amount that I've wanted to do today, mostly because I am still suffering with what I would call long COVID. But I think it also might be clinical depression and laziness as opposed to some other illness. Mostly because it's as if common sense has left my small little world, and a lot of people that I know are somewhere else. We have diverged in our communication. Not that I miss these people, because I really don't. I don't miss having people pretend they're my friends just to watch me struggle, and I really don't like people who are intellectually dishonest. So I'm not missing anyone. I just find it interesting that the world is an unfriendly place most of the time. And the only people that I actually have any positive, real positive interactions with are people that I shop at their stores. Because they're like, oh, thank God you came in. We really need to make this month's rent. You know, it's like, oh, you're just going to get a coffee then? Yeah, just a coffee. I'd rent out one of your meeting rooms, but I just don't get the calls anymore to teach people anything. Mostly because I'm not in a hurry to re-credential. I mean, I'm going to. It's the fact that at any given time, I can spend all kinds of money recredentialing and get all that stuff, get all these certificates and stuff like that. I don't have to really do much other than throw money at people to recredential, because I'm capable and it doesn't, those skills are not what I would call perishable, at least not for me. They are for other people, but not for me. And long story short, I never made a lot of money teaching people gun safety. I make enough to where it's worth my time, but at the same time, it's just, you know, it, for me, it's not about the money. It's about doing a good job and enjoying myself and making other people take guns seriously and you know, be happy about it. But that being said, you know, with all the bullshit, when 2020 hit and everybody was shutting everybody's businesses down and you couldn't do a goddamn thing, I don't want to live in a society that will fold up shop under the pretext of a lie. That's my point. I just don't see any benefit to being taken advantage of because people thought I was stupid. And they shouldn't be rewarded for that. As a matter of fact, if anything, anyone that was part and parcel with that great flakening, instead of awakening, it's a flakening, you know, where everyone lost their fucking minds over all this stuff. And before anyone flames me saying their relatives were, you know, diagnosed as being dead of COVID, I would probably disagree. And to your face, I don't give a fuck. And I would make you prove it to me that they had no other comorbidities, that they were absolutely perfectly healthy. And if they died of COVID after getting the clot shot, well, maybe you should look into that too. I don't think that everyone is suitable for getting that vaccine. I think that there are some people like myself who aren't willing to take that chance. You know, if it fucked up Eric Clapton and he needed his hands as a musician and he's not playing music anymore, perhaps me as an artist, I would just as soon not have something fuck up my hands or have any neurological problems as a result. As a result of having had COVID, I'm just tired all the time. For all I know, I probably got a clogged artery. For all I know, I may have had a stroke. It's hard to say. But what I do know is this. It's nobody's business how I conduct my life except mine. So long as I'm not hurting anyone, that's fine. As long as I'm not deceiving anyone, taking people's wealth, their prosperity, their freedom, I'm fine. So leave me the fuck alone. But anyway, that's enough politics. I have a fuck of a time trying to stay out of it. Because I absolutely hate it. I hate the people that engage in politics. I hate the people that go on and on about it. Mostly, I can't stand a lot of these podcasters that are all, you know, sky is falling, gloom and doom and all this stuff. It's like, you know what, assholes? Rather than sit there and piss and moan about it, why don't you get out there and do something about it? Don't just tell us what's going on. Why don't you tell us how to fix it? You're so fucking smart, but you don't have any answers because all of those answers go back to see Appendix 2, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Second Amendment, because then it's like, oh, yeah, we may have to water that tree of liberty or something. You know, nobody wants to do that, and nobody does. Nobody wants to solve their problems with violence in this country, and we shouldn't. Not every day, anyway. I know I don't. I like the idea of having a peaceful resolution, and my peaceful resolution is to get entirely off the grids, be self-sustaining, and watch the end of the world from my back porch. Making sure that none of the survivors that end in my orbit have a place for refuge. I don't want you problem-creating morons on my property. Get off my lawn. Anyway, I shouldn't say shit like that because, you know, if we have like a post-apocalyptic society, chances are I'll probably do well as a warlord. I think I'll come out on top pretty well. I think I'll be able to, you know, take that management leadership role, you know. Find new ways to motivate people to do what I want, you know. And then by the time we get to the whole souped up cars and driving across the desert, stealing people's gasolines and being, you know, marauders and that sort of thing, you know, and then I'll be tricked out in leather and possibly a respirator, and then people will scream, "Witness me." By the time we get to that point, you know, I should be unstoppable, you know. I mean, I'll have a legion of followers. I mean, I've got like 16 people that listen to this podcast, I'm sure all of you guys would be up for that. Be like, yeah, I look good in leather. Yeah. You know, say you got a car that needs fixing. Shit, yeah. You drive a Jeep? No. I want to get through the desert, not walk it. You know, I don't know. You know, all kidding aside, though. Now, my big belief is that when the economic collapse finally unravels, and it's going to be painful for about 6 months, but it's a good, safe bet that there's a plan B in place, and we as Americans will be able to solve this problem, provided that no one gets in the way that caused the problem. But that's just me spinning my wheels again intellectually, because you people are defenseless against what I'm saying to you right now. I have you in my thrall, you know, my grip of intellectual prowess. All kidding aside, though, you probably have nothing better to do on a Friday night, and that's probably the reason why you're listening to this podcast. I don't want to go out to the club with my friends. I don't have the gas money, and I certainly am not paying $8 for a Long Island iced tea. I wouldn't drink a Long Island iced tea. I mean, I have plans, like, to be able to walk home, not, like, have someone carry me. Anyhow. No, I was actually going to do Randonautica stuff today, but unfortunately what ended up happening was I got lazy, and I had to deal with dogs today, which is a daily occurrence, dogs. And the more I had to do and the more I had to write, because I spent a fair amount of time writing and sketching stuff up, because I've got a project that I'm still trying to dial in all the way. And I was hoping to have it done by the end of this month, but it's not. I'm going to give myself another week, and I'm hoping to have it completely wrapped up within a week to 10 days. And this has only been a sculpture that I've been working on off and on for about 7 years. And it's gone through numerous iterations and changes and things like that. And that's the thing about being an artist, is that nobody sees your failures. They only see your successes. So what may look like a period of a lack of productivity may in fact be a period of time with a high failure rate. It's like, and you know, it's like waiting for Avatar 2. James Cameron's pulling his hair out going, Jesus Christ, when are we going to get to 8K? Because I want 24K now. You know, and he's, you know, and I give the man credit. He is a talented filmmaker when, you know, he takes the best and of several different genres and amalgamates them into science fiction. He does a great job. But all kidding aside, though, I've been on a tear today after seeing, like I said, the latest two episodes of Outer Range. I am of the mind that what I need in my backyard is a great big hole that's a gateway through time to explain away all of the idiocy in my daily life. And more importantly, I want to be able to, you know, throw things through that hole and see where they land. And then have someone push me into that hole. And then for me to bounce back later and then, you know, possibly be changed by that experience. I don't know. I don't think I would want to be Josh Brolin's character, because I don't think it ends well for him in this series. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that it's only an 8-episode series and not, I hope they don't leave it open-ended. So, dang, we got more story to tell. No, you don't. No, you don't. Wrap it up. 8 episodes. See, that's the one thing I would like to see, because so many of these stories, they end up being padding, you know. Pretty soon, there's just going to be people standing on film, just, you know, standing in camera, and they'll be like, you know, I don't have any words to say, so I'm going to talk about nothing and stare at people. That's what most of these shows are going to be. It's going to be people just staring at each other and talking gibberish. You know, there's something special going on. Yeah, I feel it too. really special. Dang, old man, that's special. Holy shit, there's something really special going on. If I hear that fucking phrase, that's a drinking game right there with this show. There's something special about your family. There's something special going on here. Anything, anytime you hear the word special, drink. Take a drink. Anyway, I probably shouldn't be talking shit about a show I actually enjoy. But if you haven't seen Outer Range, it's on Amazon Prime. And I guarantee it, the first episode, if you're not hooked by the first episode, I would be really surprised. I would be really surprised. Silent Sea was an interesting series that I saw. It was a Korean deal. And parts of it were good. Parts of it were, you know. And the ending, of course, left me going, why? Why would you do that? Not as bad as the Russian series called To the Lake, which I thought was a fantastic series. And then after they got to the end, you're like, oh my God, what a cliffhanger. And guess what they said? There aren't going to be any more episodes. We just are done with it. I'm like, you pricks. Speaking of zombies, now that I had to get that out there. If you've not been paying attention for the last 25 years to a video game franchise called Resident Evil, I went ahead and I pulled the trigger on the retread of Resident Evil 2. And when I played it, I noticed something decidedly different about my copy of this game. Because every time that I've played any other games, especially because I played this game, the zombies didn't make noises that were intelligent. They were like, you know, and then, of course, you know, the gratuitous biting noises and chewing. But in this iteration of the game, something changed. See, I started playing it through, and I just kept getting killed and kept getting killed and kept getting killed, and I was like, okay, well, whatever. And so I put it down for a while. Came back to it, loaded it up, and started playing it, and one of these zombies in on the main floor, first floor, hallway, turns and goes, you, and I was like, whoa, holy shit, you know, like this discernible you. And it was at that point that I was like, I really gotta pee now. And so, yeah, I it took me a moment, but it only did it a couple of times with a couple of different zombies that were both police zombies. And it was like, you know, Leon Kennedy, what did you do to these guys? You know, it's like, whoa, shit, you know. And that was it. You know, there was only two times that really just this game just hit me on a visceral level. And it made me realize something more than anything else. I don't like zombies. I just, no way, I don't. So, all that did was reinforce my belief that I need to really work on the cardio. Get back in fighting shape and really think about, you know, that whole zombie apocalypse thing. Get into the shape that you think will help you survive a zombie apocalypse, plus appropriate clothing, possibly bite-proof clothing, definitely bite-proof clothing. But I digress. No, I just it was one of those things where I was playing the game, and I you know, I get wrapped up in these things every once in a while because sometimes I video game to escape or to get through a bit of an artist block, and or, you know, I've got something in the background inside my head that's just causing me to need an escape, and so That's the thing about depression. It has a way of sidelining you quite a bit. And with the endless gray that we've experienced most of this winter and into the spring, so I've been gaming a little bit more than I should probably. But that being said, it was as if the AI in this this iteration of the game is a little more advanced. And it struck me because the first few times I played this thing, that had never happened before. It was as if the game had learned something from my style of play and how I changed it up. And then it was like surprised that I was like, whoa, you know. And I know that I'm making more out of it than what there really is. But that's just how it felt playing the game. There was something unseemly about that version of the game. It was actually learning. So it was kind of cool, kind of cool to play. Although I will say this though, at the second playthrough, there's a certain amount of predictability, but the second playthrough, the zombies are a little different. Their behavior is a little different, and I don't know why that is. They seem to be a little more aggressive. They seem to be a little bit more able to follow you, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, zombies would follow you in real life. They're slow moving, but they still will follow you. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things I just thought was kind of randomly cool. But, let's see what else. I don't know. I really don't have much to add to the show. I know that I've been going on for 46 minutes, pretty much just nonstop talking. And, I guess I'm capable of talking a lot. I don't know. But I think what I'll do is I'm going to go ahead and end the episode because there's probably other things I should be doing. And you're probably like, oh, for fuck's sake, I plan on, you know, maybe eating some tacos or something like that. Probably need to quit talking so you can go get to your late night Taco Bell run. At any rate, I hope you have a fantastic weekend and I'll be back likely on Sunday. And hopefully that show will be, you know, somewhat scripted. Take care. Good night.